Rejoice, dear listener, for your endless march through the internet has finally produced something to add meaning to your empty, meandering existence. Your friends at Idiots Discuss the Universe are digging up musical gems of the past and deciding if they have any shine left or not. Welcome to Old Gold.
Yeah, I think that anyone who says okay boomer actually in a conversationally, they're fucking retarded, okay?
Yeah.
They're fucking probably a little bit retarded.
Literally retarded.
Literally are lacking in brain cells. Yeah. But that's not to say that people who are like, fuck millennials, or fuck Gen Z is a bunch of sociopaths, you know? I think you're also just like equally...
Right.
Little retard. The only thing about okay boomers, it's like this weird catchphrase that went viral.
Well, it's fun, know? Because it does make him really mad.
It does, you make know, him like, mad.
It really pushes that button that is just really fun, and it's easy. It's almost like too easy. It's one of those things that was fun for about a week, and then it just became like too easy and too over. It went from zero to just overused like so quickly.
Yeah.
But, like, probably the first time that I ever saw OK Boomer, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I think the first couple of memes that I saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the problem is that the left, amongst its other challenges right now, has a severe lack of humor. OK Boomer was, like, as close as it got to, like, having, like, a good meme.
Yeah.
And what they do when they get something good is they just pile on that fucking thing until it sucks.
Kill it.
Just write it till it sucks.
Yeah, and they spread it to all the sort of mainstream Facebook moms as fast as they can.
Right, and then they just like apply it to everything, whether it applies or not, and they just like just go over the top on it because they're starved for like good, funny shit.
Look at this joke someone made, and it's pretty funny, like, okay, boomer.
But it's hard to be the man and be funny. You know, and that's a sure sign that you're the man is if you're not the funny one.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It's so true.
It just is. Comedians
are funny.
They just go where the laughs are, and the laughs are always with, like, the downtrodden and the, not the downtrodden, but, like, the minority. I mean, the minority has that edge, you know, that minority viewpoint is what's going to kind of trigger stuff. So
right. It's going to ruffle feathers. Mm-hmm. And there's minority viewpoints on, you know, both sides of the aisle, really.
But.
You're listening to Idiots Discuss the Universe.
When you're depressed, where do you want to go? Nowhere. When you're depressed, who do you want to see? No one. Depression hurts in so many ways. Sadness, loss of interest, anxiety.
Idiots Discuss the Universe can help. IDTU is available through prescription and treats many forms of depression, but IDTU is not for everyone.
Tell Dr. Ryan Day, depression worsens or if you're having thoughts of suicide. IDTU is not approved for listeners under 18. People with uncontrolled glaucoma should not take IDTU. Combining IDTU with other painkillers such as Tylenol or blood thinners could increase bleeding. Severe liver problems, some fail, were reported. Signs include yellow skin and eyes. Let your doctor know if you are pregnant or nursing. Talk to your doctor about other medications you are taking. Excessive drooling and muscle pain could be signs of a life-threatening condition. Dizziness or fainting may occur upon standing. Side effects include confusion, nausea, dry mouth, and constipation.
Depression can hurt. IDTU can help. Find out more on iTunes, Spotify, or any podcast portal.
Hey-o.
To totally, what are you doing down there with your hey-os?
Hey-o.
He starts hey-o-ing and touching knobs. And I get real nervous about continuing my thought because you never know when it's going to be like, oh, and then I turned you off for 15 minutes.
No. We're good. We're good to go.
We're good.
I'm just making sure.
How you been sleeping lately, Spenny, with the heat? Do you sleep well in the heat?
Not the best.
Not the best, huh? How's the lover's loft? Is that got some AC in it, or is that?
It's not.
No.
Does not.
No.
It's got some fans and some windows.
Okay. Well, that's the Portland AC system.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's tough. But I'm a night owl anyway. So, I mean, even if it's cold out, I'm usually up pretty late.
Okay. What does that do for you? you sleep in the morning, so you just sweat in bed. Like, as it gets warmer in the room, you're just in there sweating.
Yeah. No, I think it... No, because I think the coolest period is, like, the... At the very end of the night, early morning.
Hmm.
You know?
Okay. All right.
Because that's when it's been colder the longest.
Right.
Like, right when the sun's coming up.
Yeah. And for folks that don't know, Portland is, like... really deceptively north in the sense that we have sunlight even nowadays, like really late into the day,
you can still see a blue
hue. And then in July it'll be it's going to be, you can see easily until 10:30, you know, because we're just far north. Well, I've been having with the heat and stuff, like I really do enjoy it just generally. But I've been having some like crazy dreams lately.
Yeah.
Had a dream, and I know it's obnoxious to like tell people your dreams.
Here we go.
But this one was good because I was wearing like a little jacket that was too tight for me to pull it over my shoulders, and the whole dream was me just trying to like run around the house and get this jacket over my shoulders, and I don't know if like I had gotten like too fat to like pull it off or
it
what
was just too small in general or something
yeah
it,
but it was
shrunk
yeah it was quite like I don't know, it's like when you have your backpack on and it's just like in that wrong spot and you can't get your shoulders out of it, and that's kind of the feeling that I had when I woke up. And I think it was the heat, because I woke up and I was fine. It was fine.
That's a very specific but also simple dream.
Yeah. I have strange dreams, you know? I mean, like, my dreams have always happened in the same place. Like...
That's weird.
Like, the same locale, you know, where you drive by places that other dreams happened. And, like, I've got a map that I've made of, like, where all the different major places that I have...
Do you really have a map?
...settings of the dreams. Yeah. I've made several of them, actually. Because it keeps getting bigger, you know, because I'll go to, like, new and different areas of it. But I leave areas that I know and I remember. Because my dreams, a lot of them involve, like, driving and, like, different things like that.
Huh.
And, yeah, no, I do, absolutely. It's a total terrain thing, which my sister definitely assures me that that's a strange thing that most people don't have. But, yeah.
You know, I think there's something common about that in that people dream about, from what I know, the places in their life. Like, a lot of times a lot of dreams will take place in your childhood home, or depictions of things that are familiar, you know, because that's like what your brain can generate from memory, basically, like build something from the database, you know. So I think that is common. But
there are elements of that in this. You know, there are certain houses that I've lived in that have featured in this, or like rooms, like you'll be in some other house, but then all of a sudden you'll be in like the room that is something else. You know, kind of like how you populate fictional worlds as you read, where you pick things that, you know, you put the characters in rooms that you know, you know, and just subconsciously. And that happens in these dreams too. But when you leave that childhood home, it's in this other like terrain, which is not the town that I grew up in at all in any way.
Yeah.
It's not Portland, and it's not like, it's its own thing. Mm-hmm. So that's weird, I guess. Yeah.
That is weird.
But yeah, well, I'll dig up one of the maps one of these times and show you.
So have you lucid dreamt? Have you dreamt lucidly?
Mm-mm. No, I would love to, but I don't know that I ever have.
See, that's the weirdest thing about it to me, is because you would associate that kind of recall, dream recall, you know, that's like the training involved with lucid dreaming, is like being able to map things out in your dreams, any sort of like connection from lucidity, like awake consciousness to the dream realm, you know, is like what you do to facilitate lucid dreaming. Yeah. And so it surprises me that you would have a map without being like,
well, I've tried it many times to achieve like that lucid dreaming thing, and I haven't been able to do that. I have kept many dream journals that are, you know, really fragmented sort of things, but I have like trained myself probably to remember things better than some. I mean, even now I have like a journal right next to my bed with a pen that's just for like writing that sort of stuff down if I need to.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess I have been doing that for 20 years or so.
So I'm surprised then. Do you do the thing where you check, you do like reality checks where you like check a clock?
You no, like... I don't get that. I don't get that wherewithal in my dreams. I'm usually too worried about having to pack for something that I thought right. that I have to leave in like half an hour. I have that all the time. Or like, oh, I'm going to graduate. I have to take all my finals tomorrow and I forgot that it was that.
Yeah, there's this sense of impending doom. But what about, so, but like, have you heard of the reality checks that you're supposed to do with lucid dream training? So a typical one is you, in everyday life, get in the habit, train yourself to check the time, look away, and then check it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just start doing it compulsively almost. Okay. Because in dreams, when you look back, it'll be a completely different time.
Okay.
And so if you look and you're like, all right, 4:33, look back, all right, 4:33. But if you look, all right, 4:33, and you look back, 12:01. And then that's supposed to be like a thing to get you to be like, I might be dreaming right now. It's like supposed to wake your brain up into like, oh, this is different.
Uh-huh. I know, I get it. It's like a trigger, but it shouldn't trigger you enough to knock you out of the dream state, hopefully.
Well, see, okay, yeah, exactly.
That's my thing, is whenever I get to the hint that it's a dream, which happens, I wake up.
Yeah, and that is the big hurdle. That's where everyone wakes up.
And actually, it's almost like a safety valve, because like it's a weird thing, and like some dreams, like I'll know that, like, oh, wait, this is just a dream, though, but I can just, you know, I don't have to worry about that test tomorrow, because like it's just a dream, and I can just up, because like I'm... Yeah, and I'm really interested in that. I'm really interested in the phenomena of astral projection, and I've never been able to, like, achieve anything in that level. I don't know what that is, if that is, like, lucid dreaming or what. You know, it could be any number of things, but I find that really interesting. So I'm still working on all of it, you know, because I'm super interested in it, but I've not ever achieved very much of it.
Yeah.
But I did wake up this morning with a song in my head from another dream, I'm sure, or something. But it was weird because this is a song that I had not heard in a long, long time. But it is kind of like, you know, it's a song that I heard from my childhood and one that my mom played on the guitar when I was young. And just I've just known it forever. And the minute I woke up with it, it reminded me of it. You know, bought it on iTunes like right away. And like it's kind of like the song of the day for me, and it's a good summer song as well. And so that's going to be what we're going to do for today's episode of Old Gold.
Fuck yeah!
But before we get started,
Dreamland. Sorry.
But before we get started, my name's Craig. That over there is Old Run and Gun Spenny.
It's me. It's me. I was just wondering if you could help me check my email.
Shit. What's going on?
Yeah.
It's Idiots Discuss the Universe.
It is.
That's what it is, baby. And that's what it will continue to be until it isn't. And so there you go.
And then it might be something else.
And it might be something else, and then that will be what it is until it isn't also.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. That makes sense. That all works out on paper.
Sure.
So today we're going to go back to 1967, Spenny.
Okay. The groovy year.
See, I've kind of been torturing Spenny with the Old Golds lately, so he's a little.
No, I've got an open mind.
He's a little head
open
shy.
Soul,
he's a little head
heart.
Shy today, and this one might test him a little bit too.
I enjoyed the Bruce Springsteen one.
That was a live one. The Old Gold was Squirrel Nut Zippers, and that now here, that's what we call music. Okay?
No, that was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I think you'll like this one, too. This is just one song, you know.
Cool.
And it's Bobby Gentry. You ever heard of Bobby Gentry?
No.
She's a nice-looking lady in the 60s.
Wait, really quick aside. What is, when your name is Bobby and you're a woman, what's
Roberta?
Your...
Roberta.
Right. Okay. Duh.
Yeah. Real nice-looking lady from the late 60s. And this is her song, Ode to Billy Joe. Have you heard of that? Ever heard of that at all?
No.
Okay. But yeah, my mom used to play this on the guitar, and like the story of it is so weird, and I want to kind of talk about that. So I want you to get the lyrics of this up while you're listening to it, if you would, Spenny, because I think it's going to be interesting in that way.
You got it.
But it was a number one song, like just 3 weeks after it was released, it went number one. It was not meant to be a single. It was the B-side to another single that she came out with, because she's just got a great voice, and you know, she was like kind of this package that came out in the late 60s. And it was supposed to be the B-side. And, well, originally it was like 8.5 minutes long. And they recorded this long, long version that tells the whole story and all these different things. And the people are like, well, this is a great song, but it's too long. And they shortened it down and they put it on the B-side of the first single. And sure enough, this was the song that the DJs loved and started playing it. It won some awards for the arrangement and some various things, and it was voted the number three song of 1967.
All right.
Overall. In 67, like, that's some stiff pop music competition,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, Beatles territory. You know,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard year. That's Sgt. Pepper's year.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, fucking going off on every
Top songs of 1967 are the entire Sgt. Pepper's album.
Not to mention Diana Ross's Supremes are out. Like, I mean, it's just a phenomenally Monkees.
Cream.
Cream is next year, I think, the year after that. Yeah. Summer
Jimi
of Love.
Jimi
Hendrix is coming out. Are You Experienced that year? For sure. Hmm. Yeah. Big year, hard year, number three. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really, like, I don't know, just brings back memories of being a kid and, like, wondering about this weird fucking song. So let's check it out.
Really quick, I saw it's also a film.
It is. About 10 years later, they made a made-for-TV movie, I want to say, about it. Or maybe it was like a movie, which I've never seen.
So it's based on the song?
It is based off the song. It's the song doesn't give you enough for a movie. But they took like the song and then they wrote a movie around it trying to explain what was going on in the song, because people were so intrigued about like what was going on in the song.
Okay.
That it kind of almost warranted this imaginary journey of the movie.
I didn't realize it was such a cultural phenomenon.
It was. I mean, amongst like, let's check it out and we'll talk about it. So,
all right.
Cool. Ode to Billy Joe by Bobby Gentry, 1967.
Here we go.
Was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, well, Billy Joe never had a lick of sense. Pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plow. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe anyhow. Like nothing ever comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge. And now Billy Joe McAllister's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And brother said he recollected when he and Tom and Billy Joe and put a frog down my back at the Carroll County Picture Show. And wasn't I talking to him after church last Sunday night? apple pie. You know it don't seem right. I saw him at the sawmill yesterday on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Mama said to me, child, what's happened to your appetite? Well, I've been cooking all morning and you haven't touched a single bite. That nice young preacher, Brother Taylor, dropped by today. Said he'd be pleased to have dinner on Sunday. Oh, by the way, he said he saw a girl that looked a lot like you up on Choctaw Ridge. And she and Billy Joe was throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. A year has come and gone since we heard the news about Billy Joe. Brother married Becky Thompson, they bought a store in Tupelo. There was a virus going round, Papa caught it and he died last spring. And now Mama doesn't seem to want to do much of anything. And me, I spend a lot of time picking flowers up on Choctaw Ridge and drop them into the muddy water off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Oh, shit. That bitch murdered that dude. Right?
What?
She murdered him.
She did?
The singer of the song.
You think?
I mean, isn't that what it's implying?
No, I never got that from it.
Because Billy jumped off the bridge.
Right.
But they were seen earlier in the day with the narrator.
The day before.
The day.
No, I think it's the day before he jumped off the bridge.
I missed that detail.
And they were throwing something off the bridge together.
Mm-hmm.
But what was that?
Hmm. Could have been the flowers that she was throwing.
That's a good guess.
But then they broke up or something.
Yeah, or something.
Maybe that's they had the breakup talk or something kind of a thing on the bridge.
Obviously something happened. But again, like she... Yeah, there's no hint of surprise at the beginning that...
That something's good. There's going to be a twist in the song or whatever.
I don't know.
It is a twist, kind of.
The narrator. Well, it just leaves it open. I don't know if there's a twist because it leaves it just like open.
Yeah, but I think the change in tense or whatever,
where it goes a year later at the end.
Well, there's that, but there's also the narrator goes from describing other things to being like me, and I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you you start to learn who is singing the song, who's telling the story.
Sure,
in
it's the daughter. It's the daughter in the family.
It's the daughter in the family. So, and I think that's kind of a twist when you're combining it with like, oh, the narrator telling the story had something to do with the suicide of Billy
Joe.
Yes,
obviously,
right?
Obviously, or is connected to Billy Joe in a way that the rest of the family doesn't realize she's connected to Billy Joe.
Right,
because they're all indifferent, kind of, about him dying.
Yeah, and they wait until that third verse to switch both those things up on you.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think that's kind of like a twist-y type thing, even though that's like a, you know, a movie narrative book
Well,
plot.
It's weird. I mean, it's a twist, I guess, but it's just a weird, like, the father dies of a virus. The mother becomes despondent. The brother moves away. And then she just hangs out on the bridge and throws flowers into the water. So it's like this weird, like, everything was fine. The death of Billy Joel pushed everything into this. Year later, it's like it's that indifference, like, spread throughout everywhere.
Huh.
You know, like it was like they weren't really very nice people.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then like it all went south for them in a way that like is weird, but why? You know, and that's what everybody was super like talking about.
Hmm.
You know, is like what were they throwing in the water? Like what's the story behind this song?
Interesting.
You know, because people like, you know, will listen to the story of this sort of thing and they wanted to know. I mean, there's lots of interviews with the writer. And the longer version of the song, which has never been released, like the lyrics of it.
Mm.
Other than there's one part of it, I think, that has been released that doesn't really shed much of anything on it. But that's supposed to tell more. But they've smartly kept it all, like, you know, they kept everything secret. You know, they didn't let, like, her explain like what it was really about, because that was the juice,
right?
You know,
yeah, so. The mystery.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess I don't. By the end of it, it seemed like pretty obvious to me.
That
at
she
least
killed him.
Well, I missed the detail.
Yeah, right. I think that she is the reason that he committed suicide.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which became a thing, by the way. Like, people would go to the Tallahatchie Bridge and try to jump off it to commit suicide after this song. And it became such a problem that, like, it was, like, something that the police looked out for, and they had, like, a special fine. Because, unfortunately, the Tallahatchie Bridge, like, is only, like, 20 feet off of the water. So, like, it really, at the very worst, like, most people would, like, break a leg
right.
and then need saving. And so they had a special fine for jumping off of that bridge of, like, an extra $100.
Damn.
But it did happen quite a bit. You know, a lot of these crazy, like, romantic people that would get caught up in the song or whatever, or this would be, whatever, you know, like, that's a weird thing.
Okay, no, check this out. There's no specifying...
What day?
What day? Because, okay, they say today, Billy, we're at, like, the dinner table, right? Today?
I got news today.
He jumped off the bridge today.
Right.
And also the... Brother Taylor dropped by today.
Uh-huh.
By the way, he said he saw a girl that looked like you up on Choctaw Ridge, and she and Billy Joe were throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Doesn't say today he saw that, but it doesn't say yesterday.
It says that he saw it. Okay.
Doesn't say yesterday.
Huh. So you think that maybe she whacked him and threw his ass off the bridge?
Yeah, she's just
nut. And like the preacher didn't see...
He just drove by them when they were having a discussion. They're throwing something else off the bridge. Like, who knows what it was?
Like his severed head.
Maybe. Yeah. They murdered someone else together. And then she saw that he was going to crack. I don't think I can do this. We got to tell someone. And then she just pushes him off. And to this day, she just la, la, la.
I like it.
La,
interesting.
La, 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 throwing flowers off the bridge. And
yeah,
then she sings this song.
I like
song
it.
Also.
I like it, Spenny. Yeah. Okay,
but I get now. I understand though how it's fun to speculate about this story, you know?
Right, but she had an appetite, and then she lost her appetite. It kind of insinuates that, you know, what happened to your appetite, which means that the mother didn't notice that there's anything wrong, and now she notices that something's wrong.
Yeah, but
and so that would insinuate that she didn't know things were as bad as they were, because she shows up to breakfast. Like, if you just killed your boyfriend, like, and you just show up to breakfast, and then like you hear about him jumping off the bridge, and you get like, you become noticeably upset.
There's nothing. There's no mention of her eating
at the beginning. What happened to your appetite?
She says,
cooked all day.
I've been cooking all morning, and you haven't touched a single bite. So there was at no point was she eating.
The mother notes that the girl is acting stranger than normal.
Yeah.
So.
But it doesn't say that it happens when she hears about Brother Taylor.
Okay,
it just implies that
morning. But I mean, she says that she was doing something else that morning. My brother was baling cotton, and I was what? What did
I
she
was
say?
Out chopping cotton, and my brother was baling hay.
There you go.
And at dinner time, we stopped and walked back to the house to eat.
Okay.
Okay, then.
So dinner in the South is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. What? Really?
Yeah. 2 or 3.
And the brother recollected that they were talking to him after church last Sunday night.
Okay, so that's definitely.
I'll have
past.
Another piece of apple pie. You know, so the brother's just like, oh, weird. Saw him at the mill yesterday on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe's. Okay. And then Mama said, yeah, then she's like, what's happened to your appetite? And that's right. When it flips to the other person.
So she could have been spooked coming into it, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, there's nothing to indicate that she.
There is a shock to it, though. The narrator expresses that, like, it's a shock to her. The news that Billy Joe McAllister is dead is,
yeah.
Like, it's presented as though new. It's news to her. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
But the narrator may or may not be reliable.
Right.
That's the thing that we have to keep in mind.
It could be lying.
A murder.
Oh,
it
yeah,
could be
I was bailing.
But most likely they were up there in the morning or whatever. She said, yeah, nope, we're not going to date or whatever. You're a fucking simp. Mm-hmm. Beat it. And she goes back, cuts some cotton or whatever. And while she's cutting cotton, he jumps off the bridge. They find him. And then the news comes later on that day, you know, about noon or one to the mom. When the preacher comes by, does the preacher deliver the news that the guy jumped from the bridge?
No.
Maybe the preacher saw them together on the bridge. The girl went away, and then the preacher stopped the car, went out, threw him off the bridge, and then drove to the family's house and said, hey, you know, the other potential suitor guy is out of the picture now because he jumped off the bridge, and here I am ready for dinner on Sunday.
Oh, interesting. But he does. Maybe he did deliver the news.
Well, because he says, I saw Billy McAllister and somebody else. So he's protecting the daughter, but he's pointing out that he saw him standing
there. Oh, that looked like you.
Right.
In a small
town. I don't trust that.
Yeah, but it also, she delivers the news. The mother delivers the news without any mention of the preacher. She just heard that today this happened.
Like, who else is shot by the house? That's the thing. Like that, she does say the preacher stopped by today and says he can come to dinner on Sunday. So that's one person that the mother has talked to that day.
Mm-hmm. That's the only person we know.
Right. So, I mean, you
can.
Depending
on when this is, you could get news over the phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 67 for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Who knows? A friend could have called or...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But he doesn't seem like it's super... Yeah, maybe. You know, I'm sure that with little towns like that, like news like that just flies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody jumps off a bridge.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah, so that by dinner, the whole town knows.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a fun song to speculate about.
What did you think of it as a song?
I liked it. I mean, it was like more of a little movie,
yeah,
playing in your head,
yeah.
And reading along with the lyrics made it so that the repetitiveness of the song
is okay.
It didn't bother me. Yeah,
right, yeah.
And see, that's the key for me. Like, I can handle these like 5 minute folk. Epics
as
where it's like three chords.
Story. Yeah.
As long as I'm paying attention, as long as I have my focus in the right place.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'm like paying attention to the lyrics and like coming up with it in my head, and the music's just kind of this thing in the background supporting the story.
And I think that's why it won awards for the arrangement, is because it has that little bit of that orchestral stuff going on in it. And it does. It puts the story forefront, and it doesn't let that monotony of the guitar part get in the way. It almost is like endearing. It, you know, it's just kind of like kind of cool, you know, like I don't even think about it. I don't find I don't think of that as annoying.
Yeah.
You know, where if I decided like I was going to play that song live for somebody else to sing it, I would find that guitar part probably annoying pretty quick.
No, I liked it. I liked the whole, yeah, all of the orchestration. It had like a weird lo-fi thing going on.
I mean,
I know it's the 60s, so it's like, you know, they kind of invented lo-fi. The term doesn't really apply, but even for back then, it seems like a little more...
I think she was pretty much just singer, you know, singer. She played the guitar while she sang, and you know, that was it. It was a pretty simple like setup.
Well, they add in that little orchestral thing when the song takes the turn every time,
right,
and talks about Billy Joe jumping off the bridge.
Yeah,
you know,
and dramatizes the story in just that right way.
Yeah.
Not over the top.
But that symphony thing sounds like it could almost be like a mellotron, you know? Like not actual strings. It just has this like lo-fi like compression thing on it.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah.
I liked it. So I could see how people were like very intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's like a movie, but it's new and different, but it's like an old folk song. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and I was shocked to find out that she was a white lady.
That is one thing that caught my attention.
I still remember
first.
That when I was younger, to think that like, oh, it's a white lady.
Yeah, that's one thing that during the first verse really occurred to me, was like, oh, I guess, you know, I don't know, I had a pang of like, ah, see, they are, white people are just like mining the black experience to maybe, you know what I mean, for musical clout or whatever. But then
yeah.
I was like, but then quickly I was like, oh no, this is just this experience of the South. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Saying
sure.
Y'all,
yeah, no, it's like
chopping
the...
cotton on a farm. Like I work on a fucking cotton farm. I live in the South. You
right.
know what
it's,
I mean?
It's Southern Gothic. It's that Southern Gothic sort of feel to it. Yeah.
Even though that is it, that all that imagery is intertwined with like, you know, the, you know, particularly like the slave experience. Damn, she's a hot lady. She's kind of scary looking too.
She's kind of scary looking. She's got that big old Jewish nose that
the
I like.
Jewish,
a lot.
I
like the Jewish nose a lot.
Jewish.
Let's see if she was from the South.
Yeah.
Southern.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I was out chopping cotton. He said, come on, y'all, back to the house. Up on Choctaw Ridge.
Yep. Born near Woodland, Mississippi in the U.S.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
That's smack dab in the middle of
that
the
gives That gives her the street
South.
Cred she needs. Yep.
Yeah.
That's why the stare looked a little bit kind of zeroed in on something that
like
nobody
my,
else can see.
My mom and dad are cousins.
Woo! No, not my mom and dad, but there might have been some cousins back in there somewhere. We
my
straightened
cousins
it.
Are brothers.
We straightened out the tree, but there are some gnarly roots in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's.
But I think that's like
everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's mostly humanity. When you read the Bible, you're like, oh, it was just allowed or whatever, you know what I mean?
Well, there are some weird shall we say, like population bottlenecks, if you follow the narration of the Bible, that don't really make a whole lot of sense.
Well, especially when you get back to like Abraham, and you know, and then you're like,
yeah,
hey, he's just got sons, and then they got
Noah and his daughters is one of those things. The Noah, like how'd that get going again?
Yeah.
Cain and Abel, like who they bred with is a good question. I mean, it does say, but where did those people come from? So
yeah.
What's going on there? Then Lot and his daughters is also pretty problematic.
But that's that's if you take it literally.
Well, they do literally talk about sleeping with their father in the Lot thing. I mean, that's literally what it's about.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Noah, you know, like they have to come cover him up because he's naked, and there's some other things. Like, it's just some weird. There's some weird shit. If you take it literally, like you're in trouble. You got to take it metaphorically, and then you got to do some, you know, Christian gymnastics to get through that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the story of one of my favorite story in the Bible, which is when the bald Private Elijah was walking to the town and a bunch of children were made fun of him because he was bald. And he prayed to God to make them suffer. And God sent a she-bear to attack the children.
That's
and eat
right.
them. Yeah.
A she-bear.
She-bear.
And then he's just like, ha-ha.
Nothing like a good old she-bear.
Yeah. They're angrier than the he-bears.
They are.
He-bears are bigger, but they're just lazy.
Right.
And so they're just like, they can't be bothered. But the she-bears.
She-bears are ready to fucking go.
They'll tear you apart.
Right. Yeah. And they're on the she bears love a bald man. They just do.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
And they're ready to lay it down in fighting style for
that
a bald man.
That is true.
A bald man of God is something.
A bald
that,
man
get
of
a
God.
Get a she bear going.
Yeah, that's funny. That is very true.
She bears love the Lord.
Do they?
Well, sure they do. They're killing,
yeah, I guess they
killing
do.
Kids for the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a lot of love.
You could really read
that's
into
a
this a lot.
She bear love. We've covered a really diverse
a wide array of
topics today. This is, considering folks are getting this for free, this is some really high dividend entertainment.
This is premium content, folks. This is top of the line.
We're doing a fine job, I think.
I think so too.
We're interrupting each other less.
I'm trying.
Well, I interrupt myself still.
You did it a few times to me.
Yeah. That's kind of my go-to. Pointing is not allowed.
What about finger wagging?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes I just don't know if you're going
to
go.
It
or
feels
not.
Obnoxious to do this. I'm sorry. It's just, it's fun.
Yeah.
No. Why is it weird? Isn't that weird how like gestures actually elicit like a base response from people?
Yeah.
Just to take it into a completely different
it
topic.
It is. I mean, I think
like
it.
Pointing, I'm like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well, I do this, and then this is like a weird body language thing for like, I'm unarmed. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, physicality is the first language. You know, so you're transcending that into like that. And it's just more of like an emotional, like direct emotional thing. That's why people with great body language have really great lives.
Hmm.
I think. Yeah.
Have you seen those? There's some YouTube community that's all about body language analysis.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen that community or not, but I've read quite a bit about body language analysis and stuff, and there's a lot to learn for that sort of thing. People's space analysis also is really like a interesting thing too.
Space?
Where people will go into like, they go into your car and they just like look around at the car and they're just like, oh, that's who this person is. Or they go to their lockers or their room, especially, or their desk area. And they're like, this is who this person is. And they reach really like
specific shit. Oh, yeah.
Right. It's amazing how much you can learn.
Well, it's like, okay, if I like mentally look around my room, it's just clothes everywhere. The bed isn't made. There's instruments. All right, he's a musician. Okay, with coffee, empty coffee cups. All right, he's drinking a lot of bold weed. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we got, is that a thing from, you know, it's a piece of mail from fucking OHP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's fucking poor as shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or what, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like he's probably mildly depressed, anxious, you know what I mean? Like all that sort of mental stuff too.
You'd be amazed.
Yeah.
What they really get though.
Weird.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's, there's another level beyond that other than like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny with that stuff. Cause, what you were saying reminded me of the body language analysis and how, There's one particular really interesting channel. I'm fucking blanking on the name, but I started watching her channel. It's some lady who is a professional body language analyst, which I'm so skeptical now. I'm like, is this some snake oil bullshit? Is this a degree you can get? You know what I mean? But she was doing analysis of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And like just, you know, playing a clip, pausing it and talking about like, let's look at the posture here, let's look at the mannerisms, let's look at the facial expressions.
Oh yeah, yeah. They bring those creeps in for like all sorts of stuff. I've seen that for presidential debates and different things.
Right.
But and so what did she come up with for the Kavanaugh hearing? What was she saying?
Well, it wasn't very favorable to whatever the lady was.
Oh, it wasn't.
No, it was
so
like
Kavanaugh was displaying like truthful signs of truthfulness.
Signs of truthfulness, but like also defensiveness. Like as far as like he was clearly like on guard, but he was displaying like on guard but open body language kind of a thing.
Huh,
and he was like,
see, that's so crazy that you can get that deep into it. But I mean, I've read a lot of books about it, and like, you know, you've been around me, like I'm pretty good at like, okay, that's what's going on there, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
Like, I pay attention to it. I try to, you know, and I don't know. I think there's a lot to be learned, and I think it's super powerful.
Something to it. Absolutely.
Super, super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be used like in the right way, and you have to like be as empathic with it as you are. You can't be like just dominate somebody with your like nonverbals.
Hey, what?
Right. Like, but even like doing all the different things and like, yeah, there's all sorts of, you have to read it in like, there's a lot of like people that are really good at it. They do like the mimicry,
right? Mirroring,
and then they slowly start to like work the other person into like, you know, like we did the mimicking with the legs, and then I would start going like this, and I'd be like this,
right,
you know,
right? And then and, I'm like doing what you're doing
slowly, and like, it's pretty crazy, and that goes into with like all the like I was telling you about that Neil Strauss book and that stuff,
right?
It's a whole sub. Weird subculture, and that's one of the respectable limbs of that subculture that has got the light of day now, and it's like actually useful, but they use it in business and all that sort of stuff, and people use all the pickup artist stuff, but they use it all in advertising or whatever, you know, like obviously
it's just the art of manipulation.
It's art of playing the odds in a way that ensures success with what you want. You know, like you have to find like your advertising group, and then you just hit the message to that group enough until you get enough takers that takes care of what you need. I mean, that's really like, that's kind of, but you have to like figure out what it is and what it is you're selling and who's buying that thing.
That sounded like a, just a repackaging of what I said. That still sounds like manipulation. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
well,
you know, like, and it's funny because like, it's like you employed one of the tactics from the book on the thing that I said almost, where I'm like, okay, that sounds like it's how to manipulate people. It's actually how to, what did the first thing that you said?
I
disagree.
I think with the pickup artist though, it's like the thing is, it's like you're supposed to like sell like what you are, and you find the thing, you know,
right.
So you're not,
you play to your strengths.
You're manipulating yourself in a way.
Yeah.
Like you go to where your strengths are.
But there's still something you want from someone else, and you're going to figure out how to get it from them.
Sure.
Whether or not,
so.
Like...
In that sense, yes, absolutely.
You know
I
what
guess,
I mean?
I gaslit you and manipulated you, I would say. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what's real now. No, I don't think you... I don't think you... No, you didn't gaslight. No.
Or I disagreed with you and then explained the thing back to you. I think that's classic gaslighting, isn't it? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, but... Yes, but you would have to be explaining a different way. So it's kind of true. It's kind of gaslighting, but the thing that you then proffered up, I was like, that's just a long way of saying what I was saying.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's kind of, and then we get into like a semantic
argument.
That would
be gaslighting in the sense that I was saying that you were wrong.
Right.
What they saying you were wrong though?
But no, that's what
like,
I'm saying.
I didn't feel like I didn't feel like I was in argument mode.
No. It was more, but there was, it was prefaced with, it's like no to the manipulation thing. It's actually more of a like working on people, you know, working, you know,
right,
sounds like manipulation.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You know? Yeah. No, that was me being full of shit, I guess.
No,
sure.
No, it's not full of shit. I'm just like, it's just funny because, I can tell that, you have read that book and like internalized some of the tactics, you know, and
well,
I'm like,
I mean, they're successful tactics,
right,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
For and situations beyond being a creep.
No, it's just good. It's interpersonal shit.
Right.
Is it just communication type stuff, and you don't have to be a creep or like a malicious whatever person to benefit from like knowing about body language and you know, those kinds of tactics.
Right.
I mean, I guess if you're really trying to like gaslight people, which I think some people do unknowingly, you know, where it's like almost a subconscious reaction
No,
you're
wrong.
You're wrong is actually this. There's no way. And they're not even really thinking that they're like making their master of puppeting the fucking person they're talking to. They're just like,
well, because they're not. No, I'm saying, like, I wasn't, like, trying to, I obviously wasn't trying to convince you of anything because I was basically saying what you had said back to you. And so, like, it was a pretty much of a slam dunk as far as, like, argument goes because, like, we were agreeing on the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I was getting out of it. I guess that, like, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't really conscious that I was doing it, so it's hard to say.
Well, I think that.
But I do feel like that's something that I do not just with you but with other people. My sister does it to people.
If she was here, she'd probably be like, oh.
Well, she just like finishes your thought for you a lot of times.
I do that too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why we all kind of get along.
Yeah. I notice I do that and no one ever likes it. I'm like, why do I do that? Because I want to feel like I'm just trying to show that I'm on the same page.
And I do it way more like in my brain than I do when I actually say it. I only say
it. Oh, yeah,
that's
happening all the time. And then I'll tune out because I'm like, I know what they're going to say already.
I only say it with like people that like I'm comfortable with.
Right.
To try to speed things up to be like, okay, shut up.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying.
You don't have to fucking do the whole thing.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You know, but like with people I don't know, I just like totally like, hey, now I can think about this other thing while they're going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I know what you're gonna say and everything. It's fucking bad. It's bad.
I know.
It's
and
not
because you
being
miss
present.
Out. On, no, it's not. You miss out on key details.
Right?
Because like
everyone's a freak and they're gonna say some shit that like if you're tuned out, you're not gonna be. You're like and then,
what? Yeah.
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 And it helps thin the herd.
Thin the herd. Herd immunity. Thin the herd. But yeah, that's some interesting shit, and this was an interesting song.
Yeah,
and an interesting episode.
Fun old gold.
Yeah,
a timeless one. We can just put this one in the vaults and just spring it on the folks whenever.
Awesome.
Because I don't think we talked about anything timely at all.
No, it's all classic, timeless,
classic
content.
Discuss the universe.
That's right. That's right. Well, folks, thank you for listening. We're gonna jet. We gotta go. We got things to do, places to be, except for.
Busy.
Being safe. We're being safe.
Mark us safe.
Yep.
Or whatever the fuck's going on.
Just so you know out there.
Here we go.
People, unless you're one of those people who's like not safe, and then we're not doing that. Don't worry about that.
What?
I don't know. I'm trying to pander to both sides.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I didn't understand what was going on, but I'm totally for pandering to both sides.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Wear the mask 6 feet. But come on, we know.
No, wear the mask. Seriously,
yeah.
No, I mean, just for my personal, it helps me that people wear a mask.
It does.
I mean, everybody else can fuck themselves, the COVID thing.
People at
risk.
For
me personally, like, going to the store and having everyone wear a mask, like, that's a fucking win. Not that anyone would know. But, you know, if I could, like, do the mental control thing for going through, like, the treatment that I'm going through, I mean, that would be the ideal thing.
No, lucked out,
fucking
dude.
Lucked out, dude.
That is wild.
It's a sterile universe.
It's wild.
The whole world has cleaned its act up for me while I go through this thing.
Do you ever think that everyone else, there's actually like 100 real people?
Sometimes I do. It's weird because like, even when I got the news from my doctor that my immune system was still on the way down and it wasn't quite turning around the way that we thought it was going to yet, mm-hmm. like that was exactly when like the bursts of cases went up a little bit and they're like, oh, you got to wear a mask out now. It's the law.
Yeah.
And like it all kind of like, and we're doubling down on this. Here we go again. Like, you know, it's almost like it was weird.
Yeah.
How that was like the confluence of that convenience for me personally mm-hmm. in a very convoluted antagonistic universe is just weird.
It's a very specific thing to have happen.
I mean, not 24 hours passed between the conversation with my doctor and then the decree from Governor Brown that it was going to change in 3 days.
Yeah.
Well, that's because I'm like, I mean, it's also just, you know, being a human being in the world and have everything feel like it's revolving around you. But it is weird. I mean, that's weird.
It's an interesting coincidence, you know?
It is an interesting coincidence.
And it's funny that truly at-risk people, and, you know, just because... And they are out there, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. But it's funny how the current circumstances, yeah, make everything better for them, you know? Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the intent, right? That's the goal of what we're doing is, like, keeping people at risk.
Through something like what I'm going through, I think, are better. But I think that other people that are at risk have been... It's been a more mixed bag in the sense that I was on this treatment that they can't stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a train rolling. So, like, they couldn't cancel my appointments. You know, like, it was a mandatory thing that I had already started it before the COVID thing. So it was going. You know, like, they're not going to stop treatments that have to keep going. And they continued all those. But they did not schedule new treatments. Right. And a lot of people that are at risk, like my mother... who has problems with pain in her legs. She gets like shots in her spine every few months that let her walk around and everything. She just got like a pinched nerve in her spine and she needs like drugs in her spine to keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't schedule that shit. So she went from being like mobile to being like totally like fucking fucked up and in pain all the time. And it was enough of a time that she has to start it all over again and build up that stuff in her system. And there's a lot of people that are like that, you know, because they were just being kept out of the hospital. So that's been tough. But like, yeah. But in my particular case, it's just it's been totally convenient in my particular case.
I'm sure there's other people in your boat. But like with you and the whole, the timing of the...
My car breaks, everything closes. I can't go anywhere if I wanted to.
Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine, you know, if this whole time I was like, yeah, I saw this concert, saw that concert. You're just like, don't come over, you know.
Right.
You got to do it remote or whatever.
Right.
But I haven't been...
Seriously.
You know, I've seen roommates in the summer.
If you're about rolling in the cultural filth of Portland, Oregon, like you normally do, like, yeah, we'd have to get you like a special hazmat suit or something.
Right.
Or get me a bubble suit or something.
Yeah. Or just, God forbid, Zoom.
God forbid.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. There's never going to be another concert again as long as you live, Benny, except online. God bless them. And we're going to be here to review those.
No, you know what? There's going to be illegal concerts.
Yeah.
Which, praise the Lord, we've been looking for a way to make music dangerous again.
And make money.
And make money. Didn't hear it here, folks. That's I don't condone any sort of illegal activity.
Well, I mean, I knew that had already started happening on like really small levels, but like, yeah.
I've heard whispers.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah. So.
Shut down. Everybody goes to COVID jail.
Yeah, that'd be a cool reason to go to jail.
Yeah. Seriously.
I'd go to jail for that.
Yeah, rock and roll's back, baby.
Yeah.
There you go. Underground concert. This is your opportunity, Spenny. Need to become like the Napster of underground concerts.
All right, I'm trying to think of how to even connect those two things.
Just go with it. Just go with
it. Okay. I'm not thinking about it. Yes, yeah. You're right.
That's seriously, dude. This is ripe. This is ripe.
Yeah, we'll see. It's an exciting time.
Turn it off. We don't want to share any of the ideas. Okay. Yeah, this is fucking great.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.